Mind if I jump right in? This is something that I talked to the people about on the stream Wednesday evening, and it came up again Friday during prayer. And then it didn't come up here. I purposed in my heart, based on the promptings from God, to share it with you here this morning, because I believe it's critical. I believe it's the key to help us understand how we handle things. Let's start. Go with me to Proverbs 20, please. I'm sorry, Psalm 20. Say amen when you get there. One, two, three, four, five. There's two more. Would you read verse 7, please, out loud? Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but what do? Now listen to the voice translation. Many put their hope in chariots, others in horses, but we place our trust in the name of the Eternal One, our true God. Now go up to Proverbs, go to Proverbs 13. Let me know when you find verse 12. I'm going to share 12 and 13 in the Amplified Classic. Ready? Yes. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you're not getting what you're hoping for, or it looks like you're not getting what you're hoping for, you don't believe you're going to get what you're hoping for, it makes your heart sick. Whoever despises, but when the desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. When you hope and your hope manifested, it's like an orchard went off in you. But whoever despises the word and counsel of God brings destruction upon himself. But he who reverently fears and respects the commandment of God is rewarded. This is not a political message. I'm not a political person. Say, Pastor Greg said, go ahead and say it. Say, Pastor Greg said, this is not a political message. Okay. I'm not telling you who to vote for or why you should vote the way you vote. None of that. But all of the rhetoric around that was bugging me. And the reason it's bugging me is, and I'm talking about the church. We're going to put the world over here because they don't know any better. We're talking about the church. So when I go like this, you say, the church. Okay. I'm talking about why, in the name of everything spiritual, eternal, why are we putting our hope in who's going to be in office on November 6th? Why are we, the church, acting like our whole future is dependent on who's going to be the next president? Last time I checked, God was on the throne, Jesus was still Lord, and the devil was still defeated. We have the responsibility, according to the word of God in 1 Timothy, to pray for all that are in authority. What are we supposed to pray for all that were in authority? Well, the Bible tells us that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in some godliness and honesty. Thank you, Ralph. In all godliness and honesty. When we do what we're supposed to do in regards to praying for leaders and all that are in authority, when we do that, we will live peaceable. We'll live a quiet life in all godliness and honesty. God said, that's good and pleasant, because he desires all men to be saved. So our praying for leaders in authority will impact those being saved. Not only do we want them saved, but more importantly, come into the knowledge of the truth. Understand who they really are and what they really have. We have to stop putting our trust in other things. Some trust in horses, some in chariots. But we have to remember who we are and stop responding based on who we ain't. That's why we don't do it well. It's not who we are. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 5:17? If any man be in Christ, he is a old things are, and all things have become. All things are of God. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. One translation said he settled our differences with him and then told us to settle our differences one with another. So he's not going to make me like you. I have to work that out myself. That's why he said, walk in love. Love one another. The same way you love yourself, love one another. But when that's not happening, your hearts get sick. As we move closer to November 5th, that is a special day. It's my birthday. I used to love it when I was in school. Because they gave me off for my birthday. But tension is growing. The closer we get. My wife and I went and we voted yesterday. It took 90 minutes because of the lines and things. But we have a responsibility, we have a civic responsibility to vote. And we should vote. And how you vote is your business. I just recommend you pray and be led by the Holy Ghost as to who deserves your vote. But you should vote, but don't put all your eggs in that basket. Don't put all your hopes in a person, a plan, or a program. That's not God. When I look on social media and I see the things, I see the things it's posting and it grieves me. I hear people whom I have a tremendous amount of respect making fun of and taking pot shots at political candidates. We, as believers, are commanded by God, based on 1 Corinthians 13, to choose to believe the best of everybody. So now, if I believe the best of you, the words that I speak about you are going to be uplifting words. I'm not going to believe the best of you and say something derogatory about you. I'm not going to do that. No matter what you do, I choose to believe the best of everybody. That's what we're called to do as when you look at all the latest events that's coming, people are losing their minds. And what doesn't realize is it's dividing the people. One of the things Pastor Clinton taught us very early in this ministry, he says, I don't talk about who he's voting for, because the minute he does, he splits the congregation. Does he say I'm voting for over this way? Well, everyone that believes that way is now mad. I was at the barber yesterday. And the barber always asked me, what are you teaching? And I told him. And he said, yeah, it gets intense in here sometimes with people talking about the election. Well, the other barber, to his right, got upset with him for bringing it up. We're not talking about this. Whoa. Calm down. As my generation says, take a chill pill. But in Proverbs 13, the hope of the people is based on the results of the election. With everything that has recently transpired, and depending on whose poll you believe, no one is positive that their candidate will win, and it's making their hearts sick. I get, no exaggeration, 6 or 7 texts. And I'm not registered as a Republican or a Democrat, but I get texts from them anyway. I get stuff thrown on my doorstep. And I mean, the recorded calls that come in, it's just desperate. So-and-so needs your help, needs your, can we count on you? Can we count on you? Can we click? I just hang up. But it's making people sick. Folks are stressing out, wondering what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Exactly what God said is going to happen in the life of a believer, regardless of who wins. You need to know how to keep your families calm and let them know that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Look at Romans 5, please. King James Version, we'll start at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice because we have hope in the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. One of the definitions for experience, according to the concordance, is proof. Proof gives up hope. If you don't have hope, it's because you don't have proof that God is all he said he would. And I started thinking, all right, Lord, what can I tell the people to let them know that they already operate in hope? This is what he said. Ask them this question. How many of you are born again? How do you know? How do you know this? Who says that? So you're placing your hope in what the Bible says. By faith. So if you're born again, you have hope. In the verse we read in Psalm 20, it says, we will remember the Lord your God. Are we remembering his faithfulness? Are we remembering everything he's done for us? Are we remembering everything that he said he would do? Too busy hoping that our candidate gets elected so they can have a future, but God's already taken care of our future. How many of you have read Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans I have for you, says who? And then he tells us what type of plans they are. They're plans to prosper you and not harm you. They're plans to prosper you. You don't have to concern yourself with the price of gasoline. Father has plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. He's going to do that regardless of who's in office, because it's not based on who's in office. And let me throw this, just slide this in. Bible tells us, this in Romans 9, that God ordained all authority. The ones we think are good and the ones we think are bad. So when we disrespect them, we're disrespecting the one who ordained them. God. How many of you remember hearing, because you weren't there, hearing about David and Goliath? The Philistines, or Steins, however you pronounce it, put their hope in Goliath. They put their trust in Goliath's reputation. He was undefeated from a youth. David was the only one, I'll say it this way, of his kind, that believed that about God and his covenant. Goliath may have been undefeated from a youth, but God's been undefeated for all time. And Saul, who was the king, who was known for his exploits in battle, was afraid of Goliath. He was the king. He didn't say, I'll go fight him. He didn't lead the people into battle. He led them into hiding. And when David said, I'll kill him, you can't do it. You're only a boy. But David said, I was put in charge of the sheep. A lion came, a bear came, and took one. I went after them and caught them by the beard and took it back, which means he didn't go out there with the intention of killing the lion and the bear. He said, when they turned on me, I slew them. It's like, give me back what's mine, or you're going to die. David, about this high, about this wide, but a heart knowledge of a covenant that was bigger than this room. And he said, the same God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Uncircumcised is a key word. That was a sign of covenant, and the Philistines didn't have it. They were not in covenant with God. And God's covenant was more powerful than Goliath. And when Saul relented, figured, okay, well, if he's going to go out, let him go out in the blaze of glory, take my armor. Again, this armor he used for all of his exploits, all of his victories. He won them wearing this armor. David said, I'm not wearing this. I'm not putting my hope in this armor. I haven't proved it. Remember experience, proof? He had no experience with this armor. He had experience with God. So he took what he had proof worked, his sling and his covenant with God. How do I know that? When he ran, he didn't go like the early movies depicted when he's sneaking around, peeking up, seeing where Goliath is. I'm like, as big as Goliath is, you didn't have to peek up, you had to just look up. He ran toward Goliath, speaking covenant words. I come at you in the name of the God whom you have defied. This day will he deliver you in my hand, and I'll feed your head to the fowls of the air. His hope was in his covenant, not in a person. A lot of people put their hope in the Israeli army. Well, they were all scared of Goliath. They were no help. I don't know. I really don't know how it feels to be totally, absolutely hopeless. And I hope I never find out. But I don't know how that feels. Someone always, I never remember a time when nobody had my back. Stories of my mommy are well chronicled. She had my back. And I trusted in what she said. But hope is an expectation of good. And in a Christian sense, it's a joyful and confident expectation. But we're not, unfortunately, is not using it in the Christian sense. They're using the natural definition, which is nothing wrong with the natural definition, a person or thing in which expectations are centered. But when you center your expectations on the wrong thing, you don't get what you expect. And your heart gets sick. Your heart gets sick. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Patient and comfort of the scriptures, of what God said. Stop stretching out because there's a particular need you're believing for. God has already said, I will supply all your need. He already promises. It's already done. So we don't need anyone that said they're going to reduce this or increase that. So you should be happy they're going to increase the Social Security payment. I'm happy because my father promised to supply all my need. I don't care how he does it. If he wants to do it through Social Security, that's fine. If he wants to plant a money tree on my terrace, that's fine. However he wants to do it, it's fine with me because my hope is in him and not in anything man can do. Notice the scripture didn't say it was written for our learning that we, through comfort of our party affiliation, might have hope. It said comfort of the scriptures. When they came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword and cut off Malchus' ear. This is, I say this every time I read the scripture, this just amazes me. Jesus picks up the ear. Now, I'm a soldier. I'm watching this scene. I see Peter come, slice off the ear, and I'm ready to kill Peter because you don't put your hands on a Roman. But Jesus comes and picks up the ear and puts it back in place, like nothing ever happened. And I'm going to arrest him. I'm thinking, just like he put it to repair it, he could touch it with his other hand and it'd fall off again. But then Jesus said something. He said, don't you know that right now I could pray the Father and he'll send down more than 12 legions of angels? Then he said something that was key. How will the scriptures be fulfilled if I do that? How will it be fulfilled? So we have to let it be so. His hope was in the fulfillment of the scriptures and his part in that. He could have stopped it. He could have had them all wiped out. How would the scriptures be fulfilled? How is the one with the purpose and plan for our lives going to prove that? The scriptures have to be fulfilled, and our trust needs to be that the scriptures will be fulfilled. Let it happen. And we have to take when out of our vocabulary, because when will get you in trouble. Okay. I don't know how many of you know the story of how founding pastors Clinton and Sarah Auerbach secured the property in Nanuet. Pastor Clinton had a vision or a dream. He was in a place, it was a circle, and it looked like spokes coming from the center to the rim, like in a wheel. That's what he saw. He said he didn't really say it to anybody, but he saw that vision. He didn't know what it meant. They were happy renting space at Fairleigh Dickinson's Peace Hall in New Jersey, but they weren't going to renew the rental lease. So now, and the church was growing, outgrowing two services, so now they need a bigger place. And someone told them about this place in a town called Nanuet, New York, the place with a theater in the round. Pastor Clinton went in there and walked into a circle sanctuary, circle auditorium, with runways coming from the center all around like spokes on a wheel. And he said, this is the place. So he went about trying to get a mortgage. At the time, with the membership in the church and the money in the bank, no one would give him a mortgage. And in that process of trying to purchase the building, RKO came in and purchased the property. RKO is a multi-million dollar corporation. Probably bigger than that now. And they wanted to turn the property into a multiplex. But the town code didn't permit multiplex. So they had to go to a hearing to get a variance. Now, if you're RKO and you want to make an investment, they don't make investments hoping it's going to go through. They do research. I'm sure they sent out their research team and polled the town board members to find out who was in favor and who wasn't. And when they realized they had enough votes, they went ahead with the purchase. And that's sensible. When the pastors found out that RKO bought the building, they didn't call a prayer meeting and hope that RKO went out of business. They didn't talk disrespectfully about RKO. The only way they meant time to mention RKO is when they mentioned who bought the building. RKO bought the building. They had a right to buy the building. The building was up for sale. So RKO bought this building hoping that their polling and their lobbying is going to be effective and they're going to get the votes. The pastors knew that God told them that was their building. So they went to God to find out what to do. And God told Pastor Sarah, go up to the building at 9 a.m. and drive around it once every day and speak to it. And this is what you say. You will only function as a new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. That's it. She didn't add anything to it. She didn't take anything away. She put the whistle down, drove around the building. You will only function as a new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center and drove off property. It came time to vote. The town fathers had to vote on whether or not they were going to issue a variance. The vote was 5-4 against. And RKO had a fit. And the person whose vote they counted on said, he said, I was in favor of the multiplex. But last night, something woke me up and said, vote, but do not vote for the multiplex. Now they have this building that they have to pay tax on, and they can't use. And they said, wasn't there a church that wanted it? Now, if you think they weren't going to buy it for the church and disregard their plans, you must be high. They were so sure what their plan was, sell it to the church and let the church be responsible for keeping it up while they continue to lobby. And when the church forecloses, because there's no way the church could keep up those payments, 5-year balloon payment on $1.1 million, and you have about $800,000 of refurbishing to do, when they, meaning RKO, crunch those numbers, they're like, this church isn't going to be able to do that. So we'll let them take care of the building for a couple of years, and then we'll get it back. In 2 years, our people contacted their people. Said, what's the balance on the building? Why? We're ready to pay it off. You can't do that. His attorney said, yes. Their attorney said, yes, they can. I told you to let me put a prepayment penalty in the mortgage instrument. They were so sure the church wasn't going to be able to keep the building, they didn't put those clauses in the mortgage document. Why am I telling you that's not just a good story? Their hope was in what the Lord said. What about the congregation? On one of the walls in the lobby in the annuette, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. That's what they had us quote concerning the building. It's ours. It's for an appointed time. I want you to remember this. The manifestation of God's promise is not predictable, but the certainty of it is. I can't tell you when God is going to move, but I can tell you with a certainty he's going to move. We need to place our hope in that. God said it, so it's going to happen. When? The closest thing the Bible tells us about when is in due season, you will reap if you faint not. put your hope in that. But going back to that person that changed his mind when he heard the voice of, he doesn't know what it was. We know it was an angel. But the Good News translation of Proverbs 21 says, the Lord, we know that verse is, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. But the Good News Bible says, the Lord controls the mind of a king as easily as he directs the course of a stream. See how effortlessly streams run over all types of terrain? God controls the mind of kings the same way. The same way. The Apostle Paul just popped in my thinking. God used him to write 2/3 of the Bible, to bring Christ to the Gentiles. He changed his heart. He changed his heart. Yeah, Saul of Tarsus did a lot of damage. But God said he's a chosen vessel by me. The Lord controls the mind of a king as easily as he directs the course of a stream. So it doesn't matter who's in office if... Thank you. If the church prays the way we're supposed to pray, it don't matter. It doesn't matter what any candidate goes into their office believing they're going to do. The church, the only organization founded on a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the only organization that the gates of hell shall not prevail against, the only organization that was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. There's some folks we give what's called an access key, where that just allows them to come through the door. But I have a key that opens every lock in the building. I have kingdom key. Jesus gave us kingdom keys. He said, whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. So the things that we should be unlocking, and we don't even know where our keys are. We have to... It sounds harsh. We need to take better care of our keys. I left a little later than I wanted to this morning because guess what I was looking for? My keys. I have a tray. You're coming down the steps, turning to go into the garage. There's a tray. There's a label on the tray. You know what the label says? Keys. And every day, I walk past that label, that table, I look at it, and I go on about my business. Then I need to go to the store, like, where are my keys? The word of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We don't want to lose heart. Because then, what does the word say about this? I don't know where I placed it. In your heart. That's why we meditate on the word day and night, observing to do all that's written. Because then we will make our ways prosperous. Then, oh yeah. Go to Jeremiah 1:8 quickly, please. Joshua 1:8. I was at Joshua 8:1. This book of the law, well, let's start at 6. Let's start at 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So God was telling Joshua, you don't have to be afraid of anybody. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, for then thou shalt have good success. Why are we waiting for God to prosper us when we have his word, we have his promise, that if we meditate on his word day and night and observe to do according to all that's written, we will make our way prosperous. We will have good success. We will make our way prosperous. Well, how is that? Well, when you're meditating on the word day and night, strategies will come. Ideas will come. Insights will come. Revelation will come. And when you act on the revelation, the result will be good success. Has nothing to do with who's in office. As a matter of truth, you will be so successful, those in office will look to you and ask you to share wisdom. But that's not going to happen if they're reading our posts on Facebook or TikTok. I haven't gotten to the new ones yet. But things that are saying, it's terrible. For the posts, November 5th is election day. Let's all pray according, let every believer pray according to 1 Timothy. That we live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Pull everybody together. Ask for that kind of prayer. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, you can't be at war and peace at the same time. So if Israel is at, if Jerusalem is at peace, that means things in that region had to have settled down. Don't take sides. Do what God said. The Lord controls the mind of a king as easily as he directs the course of a stream. There's one more thing I wanted to share. Hebrews 6. Verses 13 to 19. I'll start with 18 because of time. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge and to lay hold upon the hope which is set before us. Which hope, verse 19, is what I wanted to get to. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Our hope is the anchor, or I should say our hope is what anchors our feelings, our emotions, our actions, and most importantly, our words. We're going to speak because hope is in your heart. The Bible tells us out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is sick because you don't have hope, because you place your hope in the wrong place or on the wrong thing, what's going to come out of your mouth? Words that promote sickness. You're going to talk like a sick person because you don't have anything that anchors your soul. You don't have an anchor for your hope. So your hope is all over the place. First, let me try this. Is it okay if I put the chair this way and sit like this 5 minutes a day, my back will be straight? Oh, that didn't work. Well, no, they said if you take it and you turn this way, your back will be straight. Okay. No, that didn't work. They said if you take it and sit like on a horse, that'll do it. This. No, that won't do it. Enough of this. I'm not doing anything. God hates me. So if he hates me, I'm going to hate him back. That's what the devil wants you to say. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So all that means, layman's terms, I will prosper and be in health as I learn more about who I am in Christ and what he's provided for me. You don't have to run all over the place trying everything. You saying it doesn't work? Hey, I'm sure somewhere along the line somebody had some level of success. I'm not knocking. God can use anything. He used a donkey. So if he can use a donkey, he can use me. Because sometimes I act like a donkey. Don't laugh at me. There's a song. I didn't have time to see if we had it in our library. But it says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That's where our hope comes from. The more current song, my hope is in the Lord. For he is worthy to be praised. So glad my hope is in the Lord. And not in a person, because people will fail you. I don't hope that my car gets me back to New York. My hope is in God. You said you will keep my going out and my coming in henceforth and forevermore. He didn't say I'll keep you going out and make you get stranded on the road going back. He didn't say that. He said he keeps my going out and my coming in. Father, I thank you. You keep my going out and my going in. He told us to call in $80,000 each week. Father, I thank you. We called it in. It says, Father, I thank you for the $80,000 we called in. Because you told us to call it in each week. we call it in. We're not, we need to be mindful because thoughts will come. Am I speaking unbelief because I keep asking for it every week? No, we ask for it once and we thank Him for it. And so, thank you for the $80,000. I believe it's come in. That's what you say. And I don't go looking for it. $80,000. You got to be around here somewhere. Where that? No. I'll get frustrated doing that. And I'll find some things that I wasn't looking for. See, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So look, I'm not suggesting that you negate your research, who you want to vote for. That's your business between you and your God. Has nothing to do with me. My business as one of your pastors is to make you aware that your success, your health, your well-being is not dependent on who's in political office. It's dependent on how much you believe what your God has said. Our hope is in the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you for reminding us as your church who we are and what we already have. And most importantly, our responsibility during this time. Yes, the people are looking for an answer. That's obvious. And we as your church, we have the answer. We thank you for showing us ways to live the answer in the sight of the people so they can see our good works and glorify you. Because we want all men to be saved and have the knowledge of, to come into the knowledge of the truth, just like you do, Father. So we repent if we've fallen short of the mark. From this moment on, we're going to be well on the mark, living this life in front of the people, letting them know that they may trust in horses and chariots, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. In Jesus' name, amen. God just gave me an analogy about something that happened when I was at the polls yesterday. It took me 3 ballots to vote. Because for whatever reason, the first 2 ballots, the machine wasn't reading them. I felt very, very old. Because I had to have my wife fill in my ballot. Because for whatever reason, I wasn't filling in the circle completely. And when a scanner tried to read it, it saw blank spots. It didn't care that it was mostly filled in. It wasn't completely filled in, so it ignored it. And it spit it back out. It said, this ballot is unreadable. As we walk out this life in Christ, we have to make sure that we've covered all right up to the edge. Don't hold anything back. Don't leave anything out. Because we don't know how what we leave out is going to affect the whole game plan. I was watching a football game last night. Duke University was playing Southern Methodist. Duke came back, tied a game, got an interception, an opportunity to win the game in regulation time. The kicker missed. Someone missed a block and the kick was blocked. They blocked the field goal attempt. Game went to overtime. And coming up, I heard so they lost by 1 point in overtime. And it seems like they lost 27-28, so it seems like they scored a touchdown and missed the extra point. That would have brought the game into another overtime period and another opportunity to win. Someone didn't do their job. When we look at the state of this world, the state of affairs of the world, is not being effective in doing its job. The United States Army is not the most powerful force on this planet. The church is. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Man. When he created man in his image after his likeness, he blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and the part we forget, and subdue it. What does subdue mean? Keep it under control. Keep it under. We have terrible things happening, storms and earthquakes and all of that. Yeah, it's the work of the devil, but we've been given authority over all of his power. Are we as pulling together and speaking against those things? It's something to think about. We're concerned about the future of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren. All the grandchildren we'll have before Jesus comes. Well, first of all, God already said he knows the plans he has for them. Before he was formed in his mother's womb and all those generational wombs before then, before all of that, and that they're coming after that, he had a plan before all that was ever come into existence. And all we have to do is operate like we believe it. I think we do. Is there anyone here who's never received Jesus Christ as Savior? I'll raise your hand, and if you'd like, I'd lead you with a short confession of faith. But the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.